With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Just for Variety. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. My guest today is Noah Jupe. I first met Jupe 4 years ago. He was just 15 years old. It was over Zoom. It was during COVID, and he was promoting The Undoing, the HBO limited series he starred in with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant. At the time, Jupe was under quarantine in a Detroit hotel before getting clear to start shooting Steven Soderbergh's No Sudden Move. Now, 19 years old, Jupe and I are talking about his latest work, Franklin. The Apple TV Plus series follows Benjamin Franklin, played by Oscar winner Michael Douglas, on his 1776 trip to Paris, where he hopes to persuade the king to fund America's fight for independence. Jupe co-stars as his 17-year-old grandson and traveling companion, Temple. Created by Kirk Ellis and Howard Quarter, the series was directed by Tim Van Patten and based on Stacey Schiff's novel, A Great Improvisation, Franklin, France, and the Birth of America. In our conversation, Jupe talks about working with Douglas, what he loved and didn't love about his elaborate costumes, Franklin's interest in farting, and working with the next Superman, David Corenswet, in the upcoming Apple series, Lady in the Lake. Plus, he's breaking news about his next potential movie, produced by his Honey Boy and Lady in the Lake director, Alma Harrell. But before we get to Jupe, let's talk about one of my favorite movies of the year, Challengers. The drama stars Zendaya as a former tennis prodigy, Tashi, who is now coaching her champion player husband, Art, played by Mike Feist. It follows the love triangle that began back when they were teens, and Tashi was dating Art's bad boy best friend, Pat, played by Josh O'Connor. This is one of the sexiest movies I've seen in a long time. I'm talking sexy physically, but also emotionally. Times it feels like a thriller. The homoeroticism of Pat and Art's relationship is ubiquitous. Sometimes it's below the surface, while at other times it's right there in full technicolor. I covered the Los Angeles premiere of the movie and asked O'Connor if Pat and Art are actually queer. Here's what he had to say.
I think they're all fluid. I think they all kind of love each other and they're figuring that out and trying to understand where that plays out and how it plays out.
Challengers is in theaters on Friday.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to Just for Variety. Before signing on to Franklin, Noah Jupe didn't know much about Benjamin Franklin because, no surprise, he said he wasn't taught too much about the American Revolution while growing up in England. But that didn't stop him from joining the series as Franklin's grandson Temple, opposite Michael Douglas as the founding father who discovered electricity. I caught up with Jupe, who is known for his work in The Night Manager, The Undoing, the first two A Quiet Place movies, and his Spirit Award-nominated performance in Honey Boy, over Zoom from his London area home.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good, and I'm excited to talk to you. I was actually going back and reading We talked 4 years ago for The Undoing on Zoom.
Wow.
So while you were in Detroit, you're shooting the Soderbergh movie.
Yeah, of course. And that was mid-COVID as well. I think I was in quarantine.
Yeah, and I think I did. I asked you, I said, how many COVID tests do you get? And you're like, all the time. It's wild.
Yeah. No, it was funny. It was that time when, you know, obviously it got to a point where you only had to quarantine yourself if you had COVID for like, you know, a few days in the end. Yeah. But at this point, we got to Detroit and we were there for like 3 weeks without the contact of anyone else. Like it was, it was very intense.
Yeah, it's really strange. I had the flu a couple of weeks ago and I was taking a COVID test and I'm like, it's so strange. And then people are like, no, you don't have COVID. You are RSV. And I was like, yeah. I don't know. I'm just going to stay home. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So congratulations on Franklin.
Thank you.
I love the series. I'm an American history like fanatic.
Oh, so amazing. It's
right up my alley. What did you learn about Ben Franklin across the pond? Did you just know him as like the electricity guy?
No, I knew him as like the money guy. That was
the money guy.
My introduction to Ben Franklin was the $100 bill. That's basically all I knew about Benjamin Franklin. So for me, this was a massive, you know, learning curve, and I just, you know, had so much to dive into. Because in the UK, you know, we don't spend a lot of time on the American Revolution. It's kind of briefly, you know, taught. But I had a lot to learn, and it was great.
Yeah, because I certainly didn't know about Temple until this series.
Yeah,
how do you start preparing to play this guy that I believe most people have no idea who he is?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because, you know, there's obviously there's a lot of, you know, with Benjamin Franklin, you have a lot of stuff that he's personally written. You've had stuff that you have a lot of people watching him, eyes on him at all times. Whereas with Temple, you know where he was at what time, but his history and, you know, the things that are happening around him, but there wasn't actually, you know, there's not a lot of information about what he thought about it or how he was reacting to it. So I guess, you know, you have to, it's tough because you want to be faithful to the history, but also as a creative, you're telling a story and you want to add as much emotional kind of range and development through the show as possible. So I think it was just this mix of taking the events that actually happening and kind of throwing myself, you know, how I would feel as a 17-year-old going to Paris, which I basically did. So it wasn't that hard. And, you know, kind of adding all of that emotional journey to it as well.
Could you imagine, well, not only being a 17-year-old who goes to Paris, but you're a 17-year-old who goes to Paris who's with your grandfather to try to save the American Revolution.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, you're not going on a family holiday.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's hilarious because I think also in the first episode, you know, Franklin kind of treats it like a family holiday. He's just like sat there. He's like, oh yeah, we're just gonna go drink some wine with my buddy. And Temple's like, but what about America? Like, what's this? You gotta,
you know. So tell me, did you have to read? Did you have to audition with Michael Douglas? How did you know you guys were gonna? It was gonna work out between the two of you.
Honestly, I think it just how the process of getting the job was Kirk and Tim sent the script and then called me and we just had like a long conversation about it, very like, you know, just talking about the story and the history, and Kirk is just like one of the most knowledgeable people that I know, Kirk Ellis, the writer. And he just, you know, was just had all of this knowledge about the time, and I was so invested in it, and they sent the first three scripts or something, and I was like, yeah, I'm in. And then I was kind of in a split second was in Paris, and I met Michael just in the costume fitting.
Wow.
I was there like getting dressed, and then I just heard this guy sort of kind of come in and was laughing, and I was like, who's that? Like, why is he in my costume fitting? And I came out, and it was him in full Benjamin Franklin outfit. Like, oh no, we gotta take a picture now.
Do you have a favorite Michael Douglas movie?
That's a tough one. I think gotta be Fatal Attraction, I think, for me.
I knew you were gonna say that, Noah. I just had a feeling. Why Fatal Attraction?
I think it's one of the first that I saw of him. it's just like such a classic movie, and I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it, or at least maybe I have seen stuff like it, but you know, kind of copying it. I think there's a lot of better movies that he's like, obviously more like critically acclaimed movies. Mm-hmm. But I think that for me, just in terms of the nostalgia and like, you know, it's such a cool movie. So yeah, probably that one.
Was he the type to tell you war stories from Hollywood? Was he like, let me tell you, kid?
There were, there were a few times we would be in the middle of a take, and he was like, oh yeah, one time I was in Brazil or something, you know, somewhere, and then he would just start telling stories of like Romancing the Stone or like mm-hmm. with Steve McQueen, and you'd just be there kind of like, what? This crazy, and he just kind of throwing them off like, oh yeah, back in my day when this happened, and he did tell some wild stories which I was lucky enough to hear,
which I'm not going to be lucky enough for you to tell me them, are you?
I don't think so. I think they Michael will have to tell you.
But I mean, the fact that you just said Steve McQueen, it's like, yeah. Wait, what?
Yes, I'm pretty sure, and I don't know this, but I'm pretty sure one of Michael's first movies was with Steve McQueen.
Tell me about getting in, I'm just going to say it, like Temple Franklin drag. I mean, those the high-end couture outfits were just... See, I would like to dress like that now.
I would like to dress like that now. In fact, I tried to steal a bunch of the jackets. And
did you?
I think that the costumes for me were like such an important and like exciting part of this project.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't realize it at first. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be, you know, wearing the wigs or whatever, but I didn't realize how sort of special and like stunning these costumes were gonna be. Mm. And how much they really make you feel different, and they kind of raise your posture, they make you feel more elegant, and it's very helpful for the getting into the time period. But I think, yeah, I think I was one of the luckiest ones in terms of the costumes. I think we really spent a lot of time like Temple's color was kind of green, and that mm-hmm. then all of the different costumes throughout were like, depending on where he was going, it was either like, if he's kind of straying off the wrong path, it was like a muted green and then became like a blue. And they just spent so much time like, you know, talking through all of the different outfits. And also there was this whole kind of debate at the start of like, when is he wearing the French court attire? When is he wearing the American attire? His grandfather doesn't want him to wear a wig. He wants to wear a wig. So when is he gonna? And there's the, you know, throughout the show, you can kind of see like whenever he's around Franklin, he's wearing sort of like a more subtle version of his, you know, outfit. And then when he's out with his friends, he's wearing this sort of more with the full wig, with everything. So yeah, it's just such a fun thing. I mean, I've never had sort of costumes like as stunning and huge as this. So it was a great thing to explore.
Did it take you time to get used to walking in those shoes?
You know what? I'm a heel man myself. So I actually kind of wear heels like normally when I go out. I mean, I'm a short guy, so I have to make up for it a little bit. Heels weren't, you know, the tights I was a little bit wasn't as familiar with.
How uncomfortable were they?
They got pretty uncomfortable. It got really hot and sticky. It was not fun at times.
And what about Michael Douglas and Benjamin Franklin farting?
I mean,
didn't expect it.
Well, there's I've forgotten now, but there was something at the time where Michael discovered that he'd like written a whole thing on flatulence, and like Benjamin Franklin was like really sort of, you know, interested in the bowel and all of that, and so Michael was like, I think he should just fart in this scene. It would be like, it would be brilliant, and it just kind of shows how comfortable he is and how sort of you know, and it's hilarious.
did they have like a whoopee cushion, or did they do it in post? So,
you know what the funniest part of it was the farting without sound, because obviously they put in the sound afterwards.
Right.
Michael just kind of like sitting there, and like the fart was meant to happen at this moment. And you just see his face like, Yeah, that was a fun scene.
Were you upset that you couldn't get into it? That was not in your script?
Yeah. No, I didn't get to do any farting, I'm afraid.
Okay, Noah, think about this. You could tell people you acted opposite Michael Douglas while he was pretending, acting.
Yeah.
He was passing gas. I mean, that's what this is what your career is.
Listen, that's something that not a lot of people can say.
Did you keep any of the wigs?
No, I was very happy to get rid of the wigs.
Oh, you didn't like the wigs?
Yeah, I did. I did, but also I did. I mean, at the end of the show, I got, you know, I didn't keep any of the wigs, and I also shaved my head because it was like 9 months of the same hair and then like wigs. And I was just sick of hair by the end of it. And I was just like, get it all off, get it gone. And that was a pretty euphoric moment for me. Yeah, no, sadly, didn't keep any of the wigs.
We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Juke talks about working with the next Superman, David Corenswet, in the upcoming Lady in the Lake. Plus, he breaks some news on Just for Variety, telling me about the film he and Alma Harrell are currently developing with first-time writer-director Zach Shields. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm Mark Malkin. Here's more of Noah Juke. I'm noticing now the Deer Hunter poster behind you.
Yeah.
Because when we talked 4 years ago, your mom had just allowed you to watch it.
Oh my God, that's wild. Yes, yeah. Of course. Yeah, she just, because it growing up, she'd always been like the Deer Hunter favorite movie. And I was like, oh, can I watch it? And she was like, no. And then in Detroit, we had like a week of doing nothing. So we just watched a bunch of movies, and one of them was The Deer Hunter. Yeah, that's mental.
Yeah, that's literally, I'm like looking all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, it's really full circle. So is The Deer Hunter your favorite movie, like your mom?
One of them, yeah. I think, I don't know if it's my favorite movie. I have a couple of posters in here. I have Natural Born Killers up there, and then I have Chinatown and Butch Cassidy upstairs. So I think those are those are just some of the like ones that, you know, I love. I can't say my favorite movie. It's very difficult.
Does Noah Jupe just want to do a slapstick comedy at some point, a rom-com? What did you just say? Natural Born Killers, Chinatown.
There's not a lot of humor going on in there, but I honestly would, you know, I'm down for anything. I think that's why I love my job, is because you're constantly doing things that are out of your depth and out of your comfort zone. I think I feel very comfortable in the darkness, in the sort of emotion. So something like comedy and especially like something like slapstick comedy would be a mountain to climb. Mm-hmm. You know,
Lady in the Lake.
Yes.
Not a comedy.
So not a comedy.
Working with Superman,
who we didn't know at that point. But
did he know and he didn't tell you? Did you text him and say, why didn't you tell us you're Superman?
I don't think he, well, we shot it.
How long ago?
We shot it in 2022. So I think it was probably before, before he, you know, became Superman. But I'm very excited to see that. He's one of, you know, he's a fantastic actor, and a great guy. And we really got on set. So, I was only there for, you know, a few weeks. I didn't get to stay the whole time because I was shooting Franklin at the same time. So I had a 2-week holiday. They gave the crew a 2-week holiday for Franklin because the shoot was so long. It was like 160 days.
Yeah.
And basically went from Franklin to Lady in the Lake in Baltimore for the 2-week holiday and then came back to Franklin afterwards.
were you surprised? Not surprised, but when they announced that David was Superman, were you like, that makes sense?
No, that made complete sense to me.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely got what it takes to have the sort of the composure, but also the, like, you know, he's like a very, he's very strong, like strong guy, strong willed. Like I would let him protect my city, I think.
Isn't that nice of you, Noah? And again, full circle moment. When we did chat, we talked about Star Wars and Marvel movies, and you said you love those movies, but you said if you're going to do them, you want to be a villain.
Yeah.
Have you been in talks? When is it going to happen? Have you spoken to David about being a villain in a Superman movie? So on and so forth.
No, I haven't. I will get on that. I'll be the next Lex Luthor.
You shaved your head once already.
You know, I think that honestly, not been any talks of anything, just kind of but I think they are obviously just, you know, I have an incredibly villain looking face. So I think I'm, you know, number one on any villain casting sheet. But yeah, I need to lose some of the baby fat before I play a villain.
Listen, there could be baby villains.
True. That's true. I mean, I'm here. If anyone's got any villain roles, I'll take a look.
And let's talk about reuniting with Alma. So what could you tell me about this project that, you are, going to be doing together again?
So obviously we reunited for Lady in the Lake, which was great. I mean, Alma is the absolute best, and she's been in my life as a friend now, you know, she's family.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, it's just so easy being on set with her. There's no pressure. I mean, it was very nice because this time, you know, the cast was stacked. So it was nice to already have like a great relationship with the director. I think a lot of other people were a little bit more nervous to step. So I was very lucky. But yeah, that was amazing experience, and loved working with her for a second time. And then, yeah, we have a project. So like a good friend of both of ours, Zach Shields, has written a project, and Almas and Chris Leggett are on to produce, also with my production company that
amazing
started with my parents. So hopefully we can work together more than just actor and director. Now we can be producers together, which is exciting.
Will Alma direct it? You'll star in it, or you don't know yet?
No, so Zach Shields will direct it. So
oh, okay.
He's writing and directing. He's a very, very good friend of both of us. And he actually was part of writing the music for Honey Boy. So
got it.
Zach, and he was part of Dead Man's Bones, which was an amazing band.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Gosling back in the day, which is one of my favorite albums. And so, yeah, he's an awesome guy, very good friend of ours. And so it just feels, you know, again, like family, and family creating art. And that's also my production company is me, my mum, my dad. So it's wow. Also creating art. So we've just got one big happy family.
But you'll star in it, though?
Yes.
When do you start shooting? Do you know?
We're just still in development right now. Nothing's confirmed as of yet, but hopefully this year.
So how did you and your parents decide to start a production company together?
I mean, I think ultimately it's always been a dream of my parents. My mum was an actress for a while. My dad's been a producer, been a AD, he's been on a film set his whole life. So we're a very sort of film family. We're very savvy in terms of like the industry, so which is very helpful with me, like working as a kid, because I had my parents who would be on set and they'd know what they were doing and they'd know about all of the different intricacies of being on a set. And so we just already had such a great team together in terms of like choosing roles and talking about projects and preparing for projects. And you know, it was just such a great dynamic. My dad's got a very like producer head, very sort of very smart, like logistical. My mum's incredibly creative, and so it just a very good balance of all things. And so I feel like they started a production company. Their dream was to for a while, and then I started working, and you know, I got to the age of like 16, 17, and was like, you know, I at a certain point you want to have a little bit more control over the projects you're doing, and that's always really nice. And so the way to do that, I think, is to be part of, you know, it from an early stage as a producer. And so we all, you know, started properly focusing on the production company, and it's now, you know, got a good few projects in development and really coming together. And it is also my parents, though, which is tough, because there's a difference between, you know, work and family,
right?
And so have to get those boundaries in place. But I love them to bits, and I'm so lucky to have them. And yeah, very excited for.
Is the Zach Shield project the first project you all are producing together?
Potentially, I think at this point it's whatever sort of lands in place first. We also have this sort of psychological thriller that my mum's written. She's been writing for a while, and she's been a writer for years now. And so she's written this psychological thriller, which is kind of like The Beach meets Talented Mr. Ripley. And so that's, you know, coming together with developing that. And so it's a weird time in the film industry. It's strange. It's tough to get movies off the ground, especially if they're not, you know, big studio movies. Yeah. So I think that, we'll just see what happens, and but hopefully something will kick off soon.
Should I assume the Zach Shields project is a drama? I imagine it's not slapstick comedy.
It is. Well, you say that. I think it's kind of like dark comedy. It's okay. Sort of. It's very dark, but there are, but it's almost like, you know, it's characters and situations which are potentially slightly humorous. Yeah, but it's such an interesting script. It's probably, you know, the best part that I've ever been presented.
The Night Manager.
Yes.
Surprised that it's being revived for two new seasons.
Yes. I mean, very full circle moment for me. It was just wild.
Is there any chance you'll pop up in those two seasons or no?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I would absolutely love to. I've kind of, you know, heard bits and bobs here and there, but I think it's coming together. But I'm, you know, I'd be desperate to kind of. It's also been so long now, and I'm sure, you know, the amount of trauma my character went through at the age that I played him, I think that made, you know, probably his life pretty interesting after that.
Right.
So I'm excited to go, you know, and revisit that character potentially.
Awesome. Well, Noah, thank you so much. It's so good to see you again on Zoom.
So good to see you too.
That was Noah Ju. Franklin is available on Apple TV Plus. And that's it for this episode of Just for Variety. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And for all breaking and exclusive Hollywood news, remember, go to variety.com. That's it for now. See you later.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.